First of all, I do want to just say I am indeed excited about our conference this year. I think our focus is a God-given focus. I'm just excited. Pray, send, and go. All of us need to be involved in missions. That's what it comes down to. It's not just a select few. It's not just myself or full-time ministers. It's everyone is called to missions. We're called to pray. We're called to send. We're called to go. Our focus this year is indeed pray, send, and go. Also with an emphasis on the go part. We have some things that we're working on that is going to involve some of us being able to go. Some outreach programs that we're looking at. A missions trip itself into China. And so I really want this morning to prepare our hearts, to ask God to open up our hearts and to speak to us, to move us, to challenge us with His heart of missions. The reason I got a hammer here is because as you take a look at a hammer, you think that it is indeed designed for a purpose, right? It's designed for a purpose. If I have a need, I get something that is designed for that purpose. If I have to screw in a screw, I don't go grab this, do I? That would be foolish. I could do it. That would be foolish, though. If I need a nail driven into the wall, I don't go grabbing a saw. I don't go grabbing a screwdriver. Some of you guys, without any mechanical ability, may not know the difference. But this is purpose-built. This is designed for driving in a nail. And it will do that job very well and very effectively. God put you on earth for a reason. God made you for a purpose. He put you here for a purpose. He has a plan for your life. God has a great dream for your life. And He wants to use you for a great purpose, a greater purpose than I believe that you can imagine, and I believe that we limit God continually by our lack of imagination. You limit God and what He wants to do and designed you for and made you for. You limit God by your own lack of imagination. And so today, my prayer is, God, stretch my imagination. God, stretch your imagination. Help us to believe you and to trust you for things that are beyond what we could possibly imagine. The problem that we have continually is within our own mind. It's within our own mind. You have mental blocks and they keep you saying, how could God ever use me? How could God ever use me? So for God to use you, for God to bless your life and lead your life in a way beyond your dreams, you have to change your thinking. You have to change your thinking. All great things begin with a dream. Psychologists say for you to have a long life, you have to have a dream for your life. And I'm here to tell you that it's not just enough to have a dream. You have to have God's dream for your life. You have to have His dream in your life. If God isn't using you right now, then I want to ask you, what is your life being used for right now? What are you investing your life in right now? What are your energies and your emotions being invested in right now? I received this last week, an email from a close friend of mine who's struggling with this very issue of his purpose and believing that God has a better purpose for him. He believes in his heart that there has to be something else, and he's restless. And I want you to hear the words that he wrote down here. He said, "Now I am down. I cannot seem to get away from a feeling of mild depression about work." Ever been there before? He says, not that I'm really depressed. It is just that I am not happy. I feel no joy in my work. I do my best. I do really well in my job, actually. But I get no satisfaction. And I think there's a lot of people out there just like that. You do really well. On the outside, if someone were to take a look at your life, they would say, wow, I wish I was that person. A lot of you in here are like that. You appear good on the outside. You appear to have it together. You appear successful in the world standards. And you have a decent level of income. You have a decent level of things around you. But there's still something inside that's longing for something more. Like I read a few minutes ago during the offering time. To be able to have all the wealth that you could possibly use and spend and still have the dissatisfaction of not knowing what to do. What is the point of all this? And my heart goes out to people like this. My heart goes out to my friend. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 says, as it is written, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. God has something far greater than you can imagine, that you can see, that you can hear. Yes, He has eternity for us, but I believe He also has something far greater even now for your life than what you perhaps comprehend. And maybe some of us have tried to keep God too tight. Some of us have tried to keep God too controlled, and we give Him a certain part of our life, and then we say, God, I want You to bless all my life. We say, God, I'm giving You my Sunday mornings, and that's all You're having of my life, but God, I want You to bless me completely and bless me with a fulfilled life and bless my family and give me everything my heart desires. And we place God in this small box. But God's dream for your life is so much bigger. So much bigger. You cannot imagine what God could do with your life if your life was totally, irrevocably, completely given over to Him and surrendered to Him. Ephesians 3 verse 20. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. How much is He able to do? Immeasurably more than all we ask or what? Imagine. How much have you asked of God? How much have you imagined? He says, I'm able to do more than that. I'm able to do more than that in your life. And this morning I'm asking you to stretch your imagination a while. Stretch your imagination. Imagine what life can be like. Forget about the past for a moment this morning. Forget about what you have come through. And imagine what life could be like if your life was totally given over to God. And you say, God, I want Your dream. God, I want Your plan in my life. I want what You want. Let's pray. Father, open our hearts, open our minds for the next few minutes, Lord, that we can dream a little bit, that we can imagine a little bit more, stretch our imaginations. Lord, I believe You have so much more for life than what so many of us are experiencing right here. And I believe so much of it is because we lack that vision, we lack that ability to imagine what You can do in our lives. Father, stretch us today. Stretch us in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, I missed you guys last week. I missed you last week. I don't know if you noticed or not, but we weren't here, okay? Casey was here, and I heard Casey speak on the internet this past week, and he did a fantastic job about salt and and what have you, telling you all about how to use salt and whatnot. And I saw he spent 57 minutes doing that. So it was awesome, though. I'm sure you appreciated hearing from someone else once again. So thank you so much, Casey. I was over at Beacon Baptist, our daughter church from International. I was over there, and that was a real blessing. They're meeting in a school hall, and not a big church, of course, but it's a church. Those that are there are people who are committed, dedicated, and they're excited about what God is doing. And they were so pleased to have us come and just bless them and challenge them as well. And it's an encouragement to them, for myself to be there, to be able to say, you know what? IBC did this for a long time. You know, IBC was meeting in school halls like this, and we had a small group just like you guys. And God can really bless, and God wants to bless you. And they're excited about what God's going to do with Beacon. And so I told them I'd come and brag on them a little bit, because the atmosphere was awesome, and the attitudes and the hearts, it was just really encouraging. Keep praying for Steve and Sue and Beacon. What can God do in our lives? How can we stretch our imagination a little bit? There's a few principles I want to share with you. The number one is we must let go of doubt. Let go of doubt. Doubt's the enemy. It's the enemy of God's dream in our life. Doubt limits our potential. Doubt creates something called procrastination, putting things off, not getting started. Doubt causes you to miss God's best in your life. You say, I doubt God could use me in a great way. Look at me. And I want to tell you, you are limiting God's ability to use imperfect people. In James chapter 1, verse 6, it says, he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. You see how doubt destroys God's potential in your life? He who doubts is going to be tossed to and fro. So before you can be used by God in any great way, you have to deal with this doubt issue. A couple of weeks ago, I spoke to you about a guy named Joshua in the Bible. Remember Joshua? Joshua had a little bit of a doubt problem as well. He was the successor to who? Moses. For 40 years, Moses had led the people of Israel. How would you like to be the leader to follow in the footsteps of Moses? Be pretty tough. Be pretty hard. Moses had pretty big shoes to fill. And the things that God did and the ways that God led Israel through Moses was pretty fantastic. And we're not going to go through all the stories, but the wonderful things was pretty fantastic. And now he says, Joshua, you're it. You're next. You're the man. And Joshua is filled with doubts. He has fears. And over in Joshua, the Lord says, don't fear. Be confident. Don't be afraid. Don't doubt. Let go of doubt. Joshua 1:9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. If God's going to use you, the first thing you have to learn to do is to dump the doubts. Dump the doubts about what He can and wants to do in your life. Maybe you're sitting here right now saying that's just too hard to do. It's not too hard. It's not hard to dump doubts. Because the truth is this, I want you to get truth in your head. Doubt is a choice, just like faith is a choice. If God says something and you have doubts, you have a choice. You have a choice that you can choose to believe God regardless of your fears, regardless of your feelings at the time. You can choose to believe God. When we come to Christ, when we trust Him for salvation, we make a choice. I believe we have to make a conscious choice. A choice that crosses a line from doubt, from disbelief, to belief. You have to make a choice. God calls out to you, says, come to me. Find rest, find peace, find forgiveness. You have to come. At some stage in your life, you had to make a choice. You had to cross a line. And some of you live your Christian lives, though, with this sickness, this disease of doubt going on in your life all the time, and you're limiting what God is able to do in you. But doubt is a choice. It's an attitude. Whenever you doubt God, you are choosing to doubt. Why do we have so many self-doubts about God using us? There are a couple of things that cause doubt. The first is comparing my abilities with other people's abilities. Some people have abilities that I wish I had. I can compare myself with others and all of a sudden I start measuring myself next to them and feeling pretty small. I'm not as smart. I'm not as good looking. I'm not as talented. I don't have the same abilities. And I start feeling pretty small. So when I compare myself with other people, I begin to doubt. God, how can you use me? I don't have the abilities. I don't have what they have. The second thing that causes us to have self-doubt is remembering our failures. Remembering our past. In our minds, it's almost like movies. And in those movies, we replay over and over and over again things that happened in the past. And these movies might remind you of that stupid thing you did back in 1985. And remember that. And how can God use you? Remember what you did then. And this movie is played over and over again and it tortures you and you hate it. And you hate it when you do that. Why do you keep playing that over and over again in your mind? Have you read the Bible lately? Have you read the Bible? I don't want to do a quick survey. Raise your hand if you have truly, at some stage in your life, read the Bible beginning to the end. Raise your hand. If at some stage, don't lie to me. Just raise your hand. If you've read the Bible cover to cover from the beginning to the very end. Up. Okay. We have a challenge ahead of us. How many of you believe the Bible cover to cover? Okay. And yet, how many of you read the Bible cover to cover? But as you read the Bible, you begin to see that the leaders that God used in the Bible, the people that God really did great things with, they didn't have perfect resumes. They didn't have sparkling, clean, backgrounds. Their past was checkered. And some of them were filled with a lot of bad things in the past. Moses, before God used him, he was a murderer. Jacob, he was deceptive. He stole his family inheritance. David was an adulterer and a murderer. This is not good. This is not a good thing. Abraham, I love Abraham. He's a challenge to my faith. And we look at Abraham as a great man, and he was. God used him. But Abraham gave his wife away not one time, but two times. He says, this is my sister, not my wife. Remember? We take a look at that. He did some stupid things. Great man of faith. Paul, he was a terrorist before he got saved. He was a terrorist going around persecuting the church, gathering them up, having them killed. God got a hold of him. Peter was hard driving. He was a hard cussing, salty sea dog before God got a hold of his heart. But listen, God uses people like this. And God wants to use people like you. Take a look at how God made your body. How many eyes did He put in you? Two eyes. Which way are they facing? Forward. Aren't you glad He didn't put them in the back of your head? A lot of you moms used to tell your kids that. Mom's got eyes on the back of her head. My mom used to always tell me that. It's not true, though. God wants you to look forward. Your ears are on your head, and they're even faced this way, not backwards. Your nose faces forwards. Your hands, they're designed to reach out in front of you. It's really hard to grab things this way. Your feet face forward. Everything is facing forward. God wants you, and He's telling you, even by the very way that He made you and designed you, He wants you to look forward. He wants you to go forward. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. You've got to let go of doubt. It's a choice. And today you can make a choice. You can make a choice of faith. And say, God, stretch my imagination. Get rid of my doubt. I want Your plan for my life. I want to be what You purpose made me for. Number two, look for a promise. Look for a promise. At the very beginning, as Joshua was standing on the edge of the Jordan River, getting ready for a major campaign, God tells him, let's remind ourselves of the promise that I made. Let's remind ourselves. Joshua 1 verse 3, God says, I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. He's saying, Joshua, I know you have doubts, but let's remind ourselves of a couple of things. I made a promise. I made a promise to Moses. And I'm still sticking by my promise. And I want you to know, Josh, that you can claim this promise as yours as well. Take this promise. Run with it. Before you go and before you head forward and go and attack, I want you to remember this promise that every place you set your foot, that's the place I'm going to give you. As I made to Moses, I'm making to you. God cannot lie. At the end of Joshua's life, many years later, he was very old, he was getting ready to die, and he looks back over his life, and he sees all the work that God had done through him. All the land that God had given to them. At the end of Joshua, in chapter 23, verse 14, he states, you know with all your heart that, and soul, that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Man, I want to get to the end of my life, not in a hurry, but I want to get to the end of my life. And I want to be able to look back and say, God, I claim those promises that You made in Your Word. And I chose to let go of doubt so that You can work in my life in a great way. And God, not one of Your promises failed me. Not one of Your promises failed me. Don't get me wrong. We go through hard times. I've gone through hard times, difficult times. And sometimes right now, you may be in a hard and difficult time. I know that. I know that. But as you take a look back, and as you get to the other side and begin to see how God worked in your life through those hard times, despite your failings, despite your shortcomings, you're better able to see how God has kept His promises. I want to be able to say that very same thing. Do you want to be used by God? I'll say this again. The way to start is to get into this. Know His Word. Know His Word. In His Word, there are lots of promises to you. There are promises that He makes to you. And for you to be able to claim a promise, you've got to know His Word. You've got to know what they are. It's a book of God's promises. He says, if you follow Me, get into My Word, then you'll have success. Follow Me. Get into My Word. I'll give you the success in your life. He's not saying that everything that you do, that you will be successful. That's why you fail. That's why you fail. Everything that He wants to do in your life, He will give success. There's a difference. There is a difference there. Don't take this and run with it with selfish ambitions and say, God's promised that He's going to give me and bless my business and give me $1 million. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that. But you make your passion and your focus the Lord. You invest yourself in the Lord and say, God, I want Your plan for my life. I'm the hammer. You're the master. You use my life the way You intended for it to be used. And guess what? He'll bring the success in your life for the very purposes that He made you for. And you will live life fulfilled and having fulfilled your purpose. Look for a promise. Number three, lean on the Lord. Joshua 1:9. He reminds him, the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. You're not alone. Lean on the Lord. God's word, done in God's way, will not lack God's support. God's word, God's way, doesn't lack His support. Confession time. My prayers often used to start with, why God? Anybody pray prayers like that? Why God? Why God did this happen? Why did this happen to me? Why did You allow this? Why did these people do that? Why did these people say this? But now God has been working in my life and He's been showing in my life. Ken, don't start your prayers off with why God. Start your prayers off with who? What? Where? When? God, what are You doing in my life right now? What are You trying to accomplish? What is Your plan? What is Your will? When do You want me to do this? How do You want me to do this? God, I'm in the middle of a struggle right now. It's not for me to know why. I don't care. But God, what is it that You want to do in this? What do You want to accomplish? You need to learn to lean on God. The Christian life is not about smooth seas. Jesus said the very opposite. I don't know where people get the idea that being a Christian means that you don't have troubles. I don't know where people get that, because it didn't come from Jesus. He said the opposite. In this life you will have... I don't know what all you said, but it sounded good. He says you will have trials, you will have tribulations, you will have troubles. Okay, if you said any of those three, you got it. He said they're going to be troubles. Why? Because this ain't heaven. You may be a Christian, you may be saved, you may be forgiven, but this ain't heaven, this ain't it. So if you're expecting smooth sailing, you have to wait a little while more until you get to heaven. And when you get there, hey, we'll sit back and say, man, you know, we'll take a look at this life a little bit. And things will have a better perspective. But we're not there. It's going to be a little tough. We're going to go through bad times. We're going to go through disappointments. We're going to go through pain. We're going to go through hurt. It's going to happen. I wish I could take it away from you. I wish I could say God's going to not let you go through that. But through it, you need support. You need to lean on the Lord. Joshua 1:8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Do you see the progression? He mentions a few things. He said, first of all, remember the word. Don't let this book depart from your mouth. Don't forget it. Remember it. Second, he says, you study it. Meditate on it day and night. Know it. Don't go trying to get all spiritual and leave the book behind. This is our basis. This is our faith. This is our foundation. Third, not only know it, not only meditate on it, and study it. But third, obey it. Do it. And then he says, you'll have success. That's the order. You can't get it out of order. God, I want the success. I just don't want to know the book. God, I want success, but it's too hard to obey. It doesn't work that way. What are you leaning on? Are you leaning on the approval of people? Are you leaning on other people? Guess what? Eventually, they will let you down. You lean on somebody long enough, they get tired, they're going to let you down. And don't blame them. They're people. They get tired. Are you leaning on yourself? You say, I don't need to lean on anybody or anything. I'm trusting in myself. I can do things. And you're leaning on yourself. Guess what? You even let yourself down. And you do it all the time. You make plans, you make promises, you make goals, and you let yourself down all the time. Because you're a person, you're human. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Sometimes leaning on the Lord is scary, and it's uncomfortable. And sometimes you ask yourself, is God going to come through this time? Is He going to see me through this? It's a scary thing at times. Is He going to hold me up? But let me tell you, this is what learning faith is all about, is going through that. And at first, especially, it seems very scary. And God will allow you to go through another trial. And maybe next time it's not quite as scary because you've learned. And you've gone through the last one. And you've looked back and you were able to see God saw us through. And you lean on Him. God, I need You today. And you may wake up every morning. And it's going to be a hard one. God, I need You today. I can't get through this day without You. Lean on Him. The fourth secret, number four, is launch out in faith. There comes a time in life when you have to stop discussing. You have to stop talking, thinking, and praying about it. There comes a time that despite your feelings and your fears, despite your doubts, there comes a point when you have to stop listening to Pastor Ken talk about it, and you have to get up, put yourself into gear, and do something about it. It doesn't always have to be big. But you do something that shows that faith at work in your life. Joshua 1 verse 10. Joshua ordered the officers of the people, go through the camp, tell the people, get your supplies ready. 3 days from now, you will cross the Jordan here to go in and take possession of the land the Lord your God is giving you for your own. This was the moment of truth. They were getting ready to step out by faith, and to go on in. The moment of truth had come. There was a river in the way. Now, from what I understand, it's not a very big river. It's about 100 feet wide, 20 feet deep, except in flood season. Flood season. In spring, when the snow melts off mountains, it comes down into the Jordan River, and it becomes a giant, rushing, torrential, and dangerous river for a period of time. Guess what time they happened to be there at? During this flood season. Typical of God. To call you to do something when everything looks like it's overwhelming you. And they said, how are we going to get across? How are we going to do this? There's no bridges. No pontoon boats. How is Joshua going to get the entire army of people across this raging river? God reminds him, I'm going to do it. Trust in me. Lean on me. I'm going to do a miracle. Remember that miracle I did 40 years ago with Moses and all them? and the Red Sea. I'm not going to do it like that. He says it's going to be similar, but it's going to be a little bit different. He says it's going to be different. This time, I want you to start walking through it first. And then I'm going to dam up the water upstream a few miles. Miraculously dam it up, and the water is going to recede and allow you passage to the other side. But I want you to step in it first. I want you to take that first step. That first step of faith. This is a test. So the leaders got out in front and they began to walk into the water. And God did a miracle. He dammed it up. The people crossed over and they began. Let me tell you, there was a time a scary step of faith had to be taken. And my question to you this morning is, what is your Jordan River? What is the barrier in your life that is overwhelming to you and it looks like it's going to keep you from stepping out in faith and following God and His purpose for your life? What is in the way? I can never be used by God because of this. I can never have God's blessings in my life because of this. What is it that is in the way? As we launch off into missions, I want you to be asking yourself a question. Have you let go of doubt? Are you looking for a promise from God in your life? Are you leaning on the Lord? And are you ready to launch out in some faith? Are you ready to take that first step in faith and follow God? Whatever it may be. I want to ask you a question. Why don't you stand with me? And I want to ask a question. Let's close our eyes and bow our heads so that we can have privacy. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 that we're urged to present our bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice, not a dead one, but a living one. We're urged to present our bodies. How many of you have come to a place, a time in your life when you've voluntarily said to God, God, I give you everything. Whatever you want for my life, I give that to you. How many of you have given yourselves as a living sacrifice to God? He's not going to take it from you. He asks you to present it to Him. How many of you have done that? How many of you are truly, I'm talking to Christians, okay? I'm talking to you Christians right now. How many of you have truly said to God, God, even if you wanted me to be a missionary to China myself, I'm ready and willing to go. Maybe God hasn't called you to do that, but you're able to say, God, I'm willing and ready if that's what you want. God, how about this one? God, all that I have is yours. My kids are yours. And God, if you decided that you called one of my kids into ministry, I would let them go. Have you done that? Have you presented your bodies a living sacrifice to God? That means everything. Without reservations, not saying, God, I'm presenting myself a living sacrifice to you as long as it doesn't affect my life right now. But without reservations, say, God, all my dreams, my ambitions, my hopes, my businesses, my family, my plans, my desires, they belong to you. When you do that, God can really begin to do something in your life beyond your wildest dreams, beyond your wildest imaginations. God can do something in your life. Don't fear God. Don't say, oh, God, if I did that, oh, He would make me do stuff I hate and I would just be miserable then. God doesn't work that way. Those are doubts Satan puts in your mind. God loves you. He takes pleasure in you. But He wants total yieldedness in every aspect of life. A living sacrifice. This morning, I'm asking every one of us to voluntarily, if you know Christ today, to voluntarily present yourself to Him in such a manner and say, God, whatever You want in my life, that's okay with me. I want Your plan. I'm going to put aside my doubt. I'm going to claim Your promises, God. I'm going to follow You. Give You total permission. I'm going to yield myself to You. I'm going to present myself that living sacrifice today. I'm going to lay it before You. If that's your prayer with me, would you signify that with an upraised hand? Don't raise if you're not sincere. God, that's me. I give Him total permission in my life. Amen. I'm going to pray. And I invite you to pray this in your heart to the Lord at this time as well. If you signify that with an upraised hand and you're serious with the Lord, I want you to pray this with me. Dear Father in heaven, today I want to present myself as that living sacrifice that Your Word asked me to do. Today, I give You all my hopes, my dreams, my ambitions, all my family, my career. My relationships. And I give it to You. Lord, if You, whatever You would have me to do, wherever You would have me to go, I give You freedom. And I say, I am available. I am available for Your purpose in whatever You call me to. Father, even my kids, my children, I give them over to You and Your care. If You were to call them to ministry and missions, Lord, whatever it may be, I give them to You, knowing that You can care better for them in Your will than I can care for them outside of Your will. Lord, I ask You now to stretch my imagination. Stretch my faith. Help me to trust You and to believe that You can do such immeasurably greater things in my life than I can possibly think or imagine or ask for. Help me not to confine You anymore. I no longer, Lord, want to give You parts of my life, but I lay everything down before You now. I thank You in Jesus' name.